This podcast was recorded in September 2016, when there was lots of policy discussion about improving children's social work.
Welcome to Healthful Social Work. Social work has the power to change people's lives for the better. This podcast aims to help you learn, think, and act with integrity so that people who need social work get help that will transform their lives. I'm Jo.
And I'm Jerry, and we've just finished recording a podcast about relationships with colleagues and talking about some of the relationship issues and power issues and group dynamics. And we thought we'd now have a conversation about a very straightforward topic, which is why do relationships across the social work profession? And the reason that we thought about this is because there's a lot of policy change and reform and discussion about what social work should be and how it should work. And a lot of that, from my point of view as an adults professional, is focused around, seems to be focused around children's services. And we wanted to have a look at really how we maintain a sense of unity across the profession, whether actually that's valuable, given how wide the diversity of roles are that social workers have, that they're in different organisations, different kinds of organisations, different teams, different services, and are also now trained through a range of different routes as well.
Yeah, so I thought this was a really great topic and one that's so important because I'm really invested in having a strong social work profession and a strong social work identity. And so when you introduced this topic, I reached straight for the Code of Ethics for Social Work. Mm-hmm. And I just grabbed the definition, the International Definition of Social Work. The social work profession promotes social change, problem solving and human relationships, and the empowerment and liberation of people to enhance well-being. It then goes on to say, utilizing theories of human behavior and social systems, social work intervenes at the points where people interact with their environments. Principles of human rights and social justice are fundamental to social work. And it goes on to talk quite a bit about the different types of social work, but its emphasis is all about enabling all people to develop their full potential, enrich their lives and prevent dysfunction. And that to me seems like a very coherent definition for social work. Because if you think about us, we live in communities, and within those communities we're networked into families. And we could focus on child protection alone if we wished, but a child doesn't exist on their own. A child exists in the context of the adults around them. And the adults around them exist in communities. So to me, we should all work together. We're linked together.
Yeah, that, I think starting with that definition and that shared sense of purpose is a really good place. Because I suppose the fundamental question is, you know, does social work matter? If we think it does matter, then having a really clear sense of purpose about what we're trying to do as social workers is essential. And that is a shared one, actually, because the reason why social work matters, the idea of social justice, of human rights, of people having the opportunity to live a full life and have well-being and have their welfare supported, that does apply to all people. So regardless of which particular group you're working with, there is a shared sense of purpose. And you've talked about the definition, but it comes from the Code of Ethics, doesn't it? So there's also a shared sense of how we would then behave. The Code of Ethics, yes, kind of setting out the way in which we'll work. So it's what we're doing and also how we do it that is shared across all social workers.
Yes, it does highlight some of the things it highlights is it talks about actually the first ethical problem that arises because the social workers work with conflicting interests and competing rights. And I think that is one of the issues that we can get tangled up on, isn't it? It's that idea that, oh, I'm here to support the parent. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm here for the child. And in those conversations, we separate these people who actually should be, one, there for each other, and two, don't exist without each other. They are interrelated in a way that can't be separated. And so actually, yes, we might be advocating for what's in the adult's best interests or for what's in the child's best interests, but separating them will never be in their best interests. And I don't mean physically separating, I mean pretending there's no relationship there. You know, so how we deal with those conflicting interests and competing rights. And I guess just the last thing I'd say is that they can also be resource-led, can't they? Because I think that each of our services, we often find ourselves pitched against each other for the same set of resources, and that can make it really hard for us to feel focused and as if we're the same profession. In children's services, the disability teams within children's services used to and probably still do call themselves the Cinderella of the service.
Yeah.
For people who are left behind.
I think your idea of that kind of whole family, whole community approach is kind of the antidote to services and social workers getting set against each other or setting ourselves against each other. And it is quite easy for that to happen when there's scarce resources and there's a lot of pressure of work. And there's also, I think, in the policy arena, some areas of social work receiving more focus, some receiving more resource than others. Arguably mental health services and adults is particularly struggling. I think within that kind of context, it's quite easy to become competitive and to start to set ourselves against each other. And we do really need to resist that, because the people who need social work need us to be joined up and working well together and modelling kind of functional relationships. I mean, it's quite interesting that even from the very top, you know, we have some social work supported through the Department of Health, and some of it supported through the Department for Education. And that kind of split is mirrored through the whole profession. So I think it is really important for individual social workers and groups of social workers to take that joined up approach, so that we kind of resist the temptation to compete, and we always try to collaborate.
Yeah, I think that idea of collaboration is really important. And that's not to say we're all the same, because actually, as we work in different areas and we develop specialisms, we actually also bring different and diverse skills and approaches and ways of thinking. And one of the things I particularly love when I talk to health social workers, and I was very lucky to have my early social work experiences in a child health and development team, so in a multidisciplinary team that had both health and child protection workers working together. One of the wonderful things is the different viewpoints that are brought in. So we want to celebrate that, the different wisdoms, the different experiences, but we want to have the same profession and the same strong. It's that whole idea, isn't it, that we are stronger together and we can make difference in our community and we can steer our profession if we're able to see ourselves as one important, strong profession. And so I was a little dismayed, actually, Jerry, when we had BASWA and the College of Social Work seemingly pushing against each other a few years ago. And for me, that just felt like the wrong way to go. And regardless of whatever choice you made or whatever you thought about those two institutions, anything like that, the bottom line is we now have one peak body. And it seems to me that we need to also be supporting that body and really thinking about how can we stand up and be counted as social workers.
Yeah, I think there's a need for us to join together because the profession is a public profession, so there is an interest from lots of different people, different stakeholders, and particularly from government about what we do and how we do it. Many people work in statutory roles that are prescribed by the government, but those roles have to fit with the purpose and the ethics of social work, and we need to bring, as a profession, our experience and expertise alongside the voices and relationships that we have with people who use social work to make sure that those roles work in the best possible way. So I think joining together is a really helpful way of of having a strong voice, not because we want to be really influential for its own sake, but because social work as a profession has a lot of wisdom to offer about how best to support people and connect alongside those people as an advocate for what's likely to work. And that helps us avoid kind of ideological solutions or solutions that are about convenience or pushing people out of society who are not, you know, valued. You know, we need to have a strong enough voice to make sure that that people are properly valued and respected and supported to be full citizens.
Yeah, I think that's right. And what that makes me think about is seeing our profession as something that is strong and worthy and helpful, and being able to stand up and talk about being a social worker proudly. You know, the whole Stand Up for Social Work campaign, I really liked that, mm-hmm. because when I came over from Australia, you know, Australia kind of had a different attitude, or where I was in Australia had a different attitude towards social work, and social workers were really valued. And I kind of come bouncing over here and I was like, I am a social worker. And people were going, shh, don't say that out loud. We'll get thrown out of the pub. Just tell them you're a public servant. And I was like, what?
Hmm.
So I actually spend my time, hopefully, working hard with people to help them develop their full potential, enrich their lives, and actually find a place in the society that they value and feel proud of, and encourage people to have a dignity and hope. And I know that sounds highfalutin, but I just can't think of a better job. And I just think if we own what we're doing clearly and cleanly and look to each other for ideas and support and challenge, mm-hmm. and accept the challenge from other parts of organisations and other professions and the public, as you say, because we are public bodies, then we'll be able to make good difference for people who can't always advocate for themselves. And I worry about us setting ourselves up as victims. You know, that whole poor social worker thing?
Mm.
I get quite offended by that, because I think, no, well, I am actually a trained professional who works in difficult circumstances that I chose to work in.
Yeah.
Because you know, we study really hard, actually, and we lifelong learn, and we're learning on the job, and we're meeting all sorts of challenges and growing professionally all the time, and that's surely a really worthy thing.
Yes, I think that's right. And I, as you know, I was very involved in the College of Social Work before it closed. And I'm since been increasingly involved in BASWA, and that's because I think that joining together and having a clear professional body and professional leadership helps us to have a much stronger voice about who we are, you know, what our purpose and our values are, and what we should do, you know, bringing an evidence-informed voice to what's likely to work rather than just an ideological one. And it also is, I think, through joining together, that's where we would be setting the standards for what excellence looks like, the things that we want to aspire to. And it's through that kind of work that a profession does that people who use its services come to have more trust in it. They come to see that, social workers do this kind of thing. They will work in this way. They'll have these ethics, and they will, you know, we can expect it to look like this. We can expect this kind of a good offer from this profession. So I think that BASWA, as the existing professional body, is the right place to be coming together to do that kind of work. But I do also know that not everyone's interested in joining a professional body, and I don't think that it should necessarily be a mandatory thing. But I do think that there's different ways that you can contribute to that kind of work. You may not want to join BASWA, but you may want to get involved in consultations, or you make your voice heard or make your voice known as part of the profession in another way. What I do think, though, is that the option of just kind of going along with things is not really a good one. I don't think social workers should let things happen to us.
Well, that, yeah, because we are change agents in society. That's our role, actually. And so that means that we need to believe that we can contribute to the change process for our profession. And as you know, I have my own training company and I'm always on the lookout for excellent people to work with. But one of the things that I'm asking now at interview is whether they'd be prepared to be members of BASWA or not. And before we employ people, we're asking them to actually take up that membership. And the reason we're doing that is because we also believe that the best way to help support a strong social work profession is by being active members in that body and actually, for good or for bad, you know, contributing in the best way that we possibly can to what's happening in our profession.
I think that's a really interesting example. Obviously, I quite like it. One of the things that I struggle with is the issue of everyone having the opportunity to get involved, because I've got increasingly involved in work of the professional bodies because of working for myself and being able to commit time. And I know that one of the things that we always struggle with is busy practitioners being able to be involved or feeling able to be involved. So I'm really interested in different ways of getting your voice heard. So the role of social media, using things like surveys, using consultations as an opportunity to hear people, going out to see people, having in BASWA, there's a lot of branches springing up. So ways of local kind of involvement and virtual involvement so that everyone is able to offer something, because not everyone's in a position to go to meetings and commit lots of time.
Yeah. And I think, but the thing is that if we all do what we can, Jerry, like you're in the time, you're in a place where you've chosen to work a different way, the same as I have. And so we have different abilities and different time constraints. And people who are in the field and delivering services to children and families and adults will also have some ability to contribute as well. And it's about us all, behaving proportionately, I suppose.
Yeah. And it's really interesting because that does bring us back to where we started around the code of ethics, around the valuing everybody's contribution, valuing everybody's expertise, giving everyone the opportunity to have involvement, have a say. All the things that social workers strive to do with people that we work with are the same sorts of things we should be striving to do across the profession for each other, making sure that there is genuine involvement and that nobody's voice is pushed out, and that we're not competing for respect and recognition and well-being, but we're collaborating for it.
Yeah, I think that's a really nice place to end, Jerry.
Great. So I will speak to you again soon.
I look forward to it. See you later. Bye.